to embark on digitalization of mine safety services and efficiency. And in global news, U.S. strikes on Yemen oil terminal kill at least 74. Good afternoon, Malumba Malumba with the Phoenix FM News. Citizens First leader Harry Kalaba has questioned President Harainde Hichilema's decision to seek re-election next year, arguing that he has no business doing so due to the alleged failures of his administration. In a later address to the president, Mr. Kalaba notes that under President Hichilema's leadership, Zambians have struggled with economic hardship and long hours of load shedding, among other challenges. Mr. Kalaba says Zambia needs leaders who prioritize the welfare of citizens and upholding the principles of good governance. He has since opposed President Hichilema's decision to seek re-election and extend his mandate beyond 2026. President Hichilema recently said he had an agenda to more than double the size of Zambia's gross domestic product GDP if he is given 2 terms in office. The Ministry of Mines and Minerals Development has unveiled plans to digitalize 13 services out of 23 to cut bureaucratic delays in the sector, targeting key mine safety department functions that were previously paper-based, with the remaining 10 services set for later phases. According to Ministry of Mines and Minerals Development Principal Public Relations Officer Shamwinde Tembo, the first batch of digital services will include blasting licenses, vehicle authorization for explosives transportation, permits to purchase and possess explosives, certificates for winding plants, and related safety approvals. Mr. Tembo says the move aligns with the presidential directive to digitally empower Zambia, promoting transparency, efficiency, and a business-friendly mining environment. He adds that the ministry will soon engage mining firms and other stakeholders to roll out the new systems and ensure a seamless transition that, once fully implemented, will bolster operational efficiency and support the sector's contribution to national development.
The Ministry of Mines and Minerals Development will be digitalizing 13 critical mine safety services, from blasting licenses to explosives permits, making processes faster, more transparent, and business friendly. This modernization drive supports President Hagainde Hichilema's vision for a digital Zambia, reducing bureaucracy while strengthening safety compliance. The ministry will soon be engaging all stakeholders to ensure a smooth implementation of this process.
The Ministry of Small and Medium Enterprise Development is said to fund the first ever rice processing plant in Muchinga Province. Small and Medium Enterprises Development Minister Elias Mubanga announced the development in Nakonde District when he toured a 50-hectare rice farm which is funded by the Citizen Economic Empowerment Commission, CEC. Mr. Mubanga says the funding of the rice processing plant is in line with government's vision of empowering local small-scale farmers and contributing to Zambia's economic growth. He says it is sad that after harvesting the rice, farmers have to cross over to Tanzania to process it because of the Zambian side. On the Zambian side, there is no rice processing plant. The minister assured that the plant will ensure the farmers add value to their grain and reduce logistical costs in processing the rice.
We have borrowed from government, and you know, the loan is very soft. Please pay back so that we can continue to support such, you know, initiatives, which is bringing development to our country, which will create wealth and will create jobs. That's how you can grow your economy. It's not about where you are in those blocks. You are saying, no, the government is not funding. Here is the what? And the government is only funding the serious ones. We've actually now stopped funding those that are coming, you know, putting up your cooperatives here and there and say, we want to come and see what you intend to do. Then you can be given that funding.
The Zambia Police Service has reaffirmed its commitment to combating crime despite ongoing transportation challenges in some parts of the country. This follows concerns from Livingston residents who report being asked to provide transport for officers to apprehend suspects. Police spokesperson Ray Amonga says government has already supplied some vehicles and pledged to procure more to ensure the fleet is sufficient to meet all operational demands. He has emphasized that officers are making the most of available resources to respond to public calls and maintain law and order. Mr. Amonga has also noted concerns about community members using personal transport, including vehicles under the Constituency Development Fund, CDF, to assist police operations. He has assured the public that the police service is doing its best to address these logistical limitations and is urging citizens to remain calm and continue cooperating with the law enforcement as government works to improve the police logistical capacity.
We have police vehicles that are there, which are, of course, you are aware that the government gave us vehicles. But of course, the government has promised that they're going to give us more vehicles again. So we are waiting upon that promise from the government to give us more transport vehicles to use for our policy. I mean, so we are making do of what we have. We want to assure the public that, of course, even we are seeing that we are managing crime. So crime is already within manageable levels, but we continue to work hard to ensure that we bring it down. But the issue of transport, what the government is looking to that aspect of giving us more vehicles, if we are waiting to receive 10 minutes, the vehicle is going to come.
The Emerald Production Watch of Zambia has estimated that less than 1% of Lufuanyama's population is benefiting from the multi-billion-dollar emerald sector, with most people's involvement limited to scavenging at dump sites. According to organization president Musa Kafimbwa, communities in Lufuanyama continue to live in abject poverty, lacking employment opportunities and far from realizing their potential to mine and generate wealth. Mr. Kafimbwa notes that while many indigenous members of the Lufuanyama community rely on scavenging at dump sites within the emerald sector for their livelihoods, only a few are able to make ends meet. He has expressed concern over the lack of a sustainable and amicable solution to the challenges faced by artisanal and small-scale miners and communities in Lufuanyama, despite boasting of the best emeralds in the world. Mr. Kafimbwa has further stressed the urgent need for support to help those designated as illegal miners to engage in formalized operations to allow them to work in a safer and regulated environment.
What it is in the mining area, all the youth, you know, thousands in number, try to find where they can find a single dollar every single day for their livelihood. Eventually, they land themselves, you know, trying to scavenge on the dump sites. So, up to now, there haven't been an amicable solution to assist the numbers of them found in the dump sites. We have only two big licenses. Another license could be to Wombeshe, owned by Chinese people. It was Ebenezer at the time when it was under Mr. Litana and his group, now sold to Chinese, called to Wombeshe.
Phoenix FM News, we take a break.
Phoenix FM.
There we go.
106.7 and 1
there. In global news, U.S. airstrikes on a key oil terminal on Yemen's Red Sea coast, controlled by the Houthi movement, have killed at least 74 people and wounded 171 others, the Houthi-run health ministry says. The U.S. military said it had destroyed Ras Isa to eliminate this source of fuel for the Iran-backed Houthi terrorists and deprive them of illegal revenue. The Houthi-led government in northwest Yemen said the terminal was a civilian facility and that the strikes constituted a war crime. The BBC Now reports on other global stories
Iranian and U.S. negotiators are gathering in Rome for a second round of talks on limiting Iran's nuclear program. Oman will mediate the indirect negotiations after it hosted the first meeting a week ago. Senior politicians, businessmen and lawyers in Tunisia have been given long jail terms for allegedly conspiring against state security. More than 40 people were on trial, some of them in their absence. The U.S. Supreme Court has paused the planned deportation of dozens